Now, I would like to pursue the issue of peace and the issue of exactly what it is that Christ really does for us. We discussed things this morning that he doesn't do for us necessarily. I don't want to leave people with any discouragement. On the other hand, I don't want to give people illusions about things. Better that you should have a more low-key expectation than that you should expect too much and be disappointed. It's a very disastrous thing to people who are going on the basis that as long as they're Christians, they're going to be protected from everything, sort of a la Psalm 91, then find themselves the victims of some very heavy circumstances. For some people, that's the real touchstone of whether the Lord is with them or not, whether they get healed or they get help in material things. Of course, for my kind of work, I'm in Paul's league, not in his stature, but in his league, where he went through a lot of things in the course of his ministry and wasn't a great $80 million a year player somewhere today. You know, but he didn't assume everything ought to be smooth. In fact, everything was not smooth. The order of the day for Paul was trouble. And, you know, he said many times, we're troubled on every side, but not forsaken, in despair, but not cast down. At one point, he said, we despaired even of life. So he went through his trials and moods and troubles, and there was no guarantee to Paul when he started down that road that he was going to wind up wealthy. He didn't expect that. He wound up with zero. Finally, he even lost his head. That's getting right down there when you lose your head, including all of its accoutrements. Anyway, Paul's life was full of trouble. And yet he was probably as much a faithful servant of the Lord as anyone could be. And he considered himself a bond servant of Christ. But he didn't really expect anything. And I don't think that people are all going to have to go down his road. I think the Lord gives you what trouble you can handle, or allows you to have what trouble you can handle. I don't think he gives it to you. I think he lets you feel the hot breath of Satan on your neck and gives you the grace to handle it and the wherewithal to survive. Sometimes I marvel that we keep going all the time and we, you know, do a lot of things down there, get a lot of literature out and make a lot of treks and so forth, and that, you know, we finish the year in the black and as we do usually, and we have no expectations for this life. So that helps us, I think, keep an even keel. Now, the question then, of course, is what does the Lord do for you? And I have to say that he's going to take care of you in a way that he'll see that you are provided for and the things that he feels you ought to have. He says the sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without the Father, which on the other hand is not positivism or possibility thinking. The possibility thinker would say the bird will not fall to the ground, period. The Lord only says it won't fall to the ground without his knowledge. So the big thing that you have is that he is aware of what you are involved with. What is the problem to you? He understands that. He knows that. He knows where you're at. And has his own purposes that he's working out. But in that vein of what the Lord does do for us, or what we can expect as a result of our faith, I wanted to take a look at an old friend of ours, and that is John 14. And that's a very encouraging passage. Right from the beginning, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. And that's the opening statement of it is key to the whole passage. But heart here is akin to the spirit. So we're dealing with the inner man, with the heart, more than the emotional man. We usually use the word heart for emotions today. And that's why Valentine's Day is hearts and flowers.